Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
After hearing Reverend Becca Stevens' message, Growing Thistle Farms, please listen for a special song performed by singer-songwriter Ken Medema.
I invite you to stand as you are able in honor of the reading from God's Word. And may we hear in God's Word refreshing water for our souls and our hearts tonight. Our scripture tonight comes from Matthew, the 6th chapter. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you. Good evening. This community has preached this gospel to me and to the women who have come from Nashville with me so well. We have not had to worry about a thing. We got here and the green room was filled with good food. There are more people than you guys even knew about, and you got us an extra room. People have taken us out to dinner, to see things in town, and I'm telling you, it is an amazing gift, this hospitality that you offer. And through the weekend, we've been hearing about the programs that you run here, and it is beautiful. And I just want you to know that you preach the gospel beautifully, and all your ministers and all your staff represent you very, very well. Except for the comment that Jeff made about my accent. Everyone's been very, very kind to me. And I want to thank them for that. And I want to say to Jeff that actually it was a circuitous path that brought this accent to me. I was actually born in Connecticut. My mother and father had 5 kids, and when we were all little, he got called to a church in the South, which my mother referred to as hell. And we moved when I was a little girl down there, and the first year he was there, he was killed, so my mother was left in the South with 5 kids. And I thought I was getting out of the South, and I was finishing school. I went to Vanderbilt Divinity School, and I literally ran in the hallway into my husband, who had just signed a deal as a country music writer. And so we have been in Nashville for the next 20 years. We've raised 3 boys there, and it's been a great joy and a great journey. And I never intended to go into the ministry that I have ended up with, and I'm so grateful for it. When we first opened the doors to Magdalene 11 years ago, we started, and I just wanted to have something that was a testimony to the truth that in the end, love was the most powerful force for change in the world. And we opened up a house. We invited 5 women to come and be a part of it. No one came without at least, the minimum was 100 arrests on the record. The minimum time on the street was 10 years. And the women came and they lived together. We said, we'll give you sanctuary for 2 years at no cost. We'll actually give you a stipend for the first 3 months so you can work on your addiction and your health and be in a safe place. You'll live together. There won't be a staff, a person that lives with you. And we'll work with you to go as far as you want to go in healing and recovery. All the women came. Everybody stayed clean and sober. And we did that for several years when we realized that even though women were getting clean and sober, they still weren't getting work, so they were still economically dependent because of criminal histories, because of mental health issues, because of physical issues, because of credit, all kinds of reasons. It was hard to get work, so we decided to start a bath and body care company in 2001, and we named it Thistle Farms. Not really knowing what we were doing, we just named it that, sitting around a table one day. But we knew we wanted to name it after the only flower that was growing on the streets where the women walk. It's the only flower, or weed, depending on your perspective, that can push through concrete. It's the only flower that still blooms in the alleys where the women, a lot of whom we meet, sleep. So we named it Thistle Farms and we grew lavender. We planted an acre of lavender. And we tended it, and we harvested it, and made sachets with it, used lavender in almost all of our products. And then late last spring, there was a frost in Nashville, followed by a horrible drought, and our entire field died. The whole field. So we weren't sure what we should do, and so we started thinking about different things and trying different things, and we discovered late last fall that you can make paper out of thistle. Beautiful thick paper, and you can fold it and make boxes out of it. And we decided we were going to make healing oils and put them in the boxes and make this beautiful gift for people. So late last winter, when there's hardly any thistle left, we realized we needed a lot of it. So I started going in the highways and byways around Middle Tennessee and searching for thistle. I was by Highway 100 near the outskirts of Nashville last January, picking thistle, when all of a sudden I came to myself and saw myself. Oh my God, I thought, I have become a thistle farmer. What lesser place could I imagine in the hierarchy of the church than to be digging up thistles on the side of the road in the middle of winter? And I can't tell you how grateful I was. I was knee-buckling grateful. You know that kind of gratitude that comes over you in a wave, where you realize all the mercy that God has shown you. In spite of the different times you have messed up, and there were plenty of reasons to go a different path, in spite of the times that you were almost broken by the hurt in your life, despite your failures and your successes, God had continued to show you mercy. And there I was, standing in this field as free as I had ever been. That kind of gratitude and that kind of freedom only comes from knowing death, knowing your own fears about it, and feeling like love carried you beyond those fears. Being a thistle farmer, it meant that the whole world was my farm. If you're a thistle farmer, there are no boundaries and there are no owners. Nobody will ever tell you when you're picking thistle, don't pick that. They'll say, thank you so much for picking my thistle. You don't have to go into the malls anymore. You can just go behind the malls. And you can go out to the railroad tracks, and you can go down into the places maybe that you were afraid to go and find a great harvest. You can look at the world, and you can see God's abundance and grace everywhere. It was a great gift that day last winter. And it felt like I was walking faithfully in my path of discipleship. These are the walking papers, this scripture today, for the disciples and how to be a faithful disciple. This passage that we read tonight follows directly from the Beatitudes, where it says, "And everywhere you thought there was desolation, there is blessedness." And then he says, "Now you have to learn how to love." And this whole process of learning is going to happen on the way, so you're not going to end up where you thought you were, on some preconceived path. It's going to make a difference who you run into and who do you see that's suffering and who is blind by the side of the road that you have to make an ointment for to go help and who needs tending and who's lowered from the ceiling to receive your healing. All that's going to make a difference. So even though the disciples could have made it to Jerusalem in 2 weeks, it took them about 3 years to get there. Everything happens on the way. This path of discipleship. And then when they get to Jerusalem, their hearts are ready to understand what it means to lay down your life in love for the sake of another. And they watch their Lord be crucified, witness resurrection, and then Jesus calls them back to the mountain to give them the final sermon on the mount, which is the Great Commissioning. 11 years ago, when we started Magdalene, we knew that we wanted to help women get off the streets and be more powerful than the forces that drive women to the streets. Those streets are hell, I am told. And I have not met a woman yet in the 11 years that I've been a part of this who has not been raped or left destitute on those streets. When you face that kind of suffering and pain, it can cause you to worry or feel overwhelmed or judgmental or all those things we're apt to feel. And so this passage is a good passage to carry us into this kind of suffering. The women that we serve in Magdalene, on average, were first abused between the ages of 7 and 11. It reminds you that none of the women end up on the streets by themselves. It takes failed communities and failed systems to help them get there. It takes failed churches. It takes generations of addiction. It takes drugs. It takes a culture that thinks you can continue to buy and sell others with no consequence to the other person's well-being. It takes ignorance, such as legalization, thinking that legalizing prostitution will do more than benefit men. And so even though our message is simple, that love heals and you can't buy and sell women, I swear to you, it is news to some people. So we keep going out into this wider culture, to people we don't know, not worrying about how the message lands, but just keep offering it. And to say that even though prostitution may be one of the oldest forms of abuse in the world, women don't have to stay in it or an addiction for the rest of their lives. In some ways, to me, the idea that Jesus told his disciples to consider flowers and birds in the midst of an occupied land with political and religious pressures seems crazy. But it's the path that brings freedom and courage to the disciples to keep loving. In some ways, this whole venture into Thistle Farms feels like that. It feels like we started considering thistles, and a craft became a theology. We picked bath and body care products as a revolutionary tool to talk about women's freedom, to talk about changing culture and enabling communities. And sometimes it feels like it's such a gift that it keeps going and working. We have 20 women employed at Thistle Farms, 30 women involved with Magdalene and other communities around the country that we've been a part of. And last spring, I heard the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church speak to the University of the South's graduating class at Sewanee. And she said, "Thistles is a provocative call to faith, isn't it? It calls us to go into the world with an undefended heart." I didn't even know she had heard about Thistle Farms, but it gave me strength to think that this and other efforts like yours that try to help those who are in need and help each other when we're in need. Remind the church that the biggest moral issue we face, the biggest moral issue the church face, is the suffering of others and how we respond. I love imagining that we are becoming friends because we brought some products into your church. And we get to share them and we get to talk about them. We get to meet people just like us. It's happening in different parts whenever we go. We've gone into Ecuador and Rwanda. Everywhere we travel, we meet people who are connected to us. And we realize that everywhere we go, we are meeting people with their own thistle paths. Lots of jagged edges just like ours. And reasons for people to stand back. The suffering of another always requires us to look at our own suffering and to give thanks for all those who ever saw the beauty in us and were part of our healing. Considering the thistles is a lot like considering the flowers that Jesus was talking about. When he's talking about the flowers and the birds, I don't think he's referring to jayhawks and sunflowers. Those are beautiful and they're powerful symbols for teams and to create a great altar space. But he's talking about the weeds. He's talking about thistles and starlings, about things we've dismissed. To find the beauty in that, to find the hope and the strength in those things. It changes us. It changes us when we start seeing beauty in all creation. I have been changed by this work. 118 women have crossed the threshold of Magdalene and stayed. 72% of those women are still clean and sober 2.5 years after that. Thousands of people have come to help us with donations, to volunteer, to come seeking their own healing, to offer their services to another. It's beautiful to witness. We have never had to take a penny from the federal or state government. We have done everything as a gift and we give it all back and you get to watch it. Along this journey, I really have met hundreds and hundreds of beautiful thistle farmers. Early on, I met a woman named Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue had a really tragic childhood. She grew up in Nashville and she hit the streets. And when I met her, she was dying in state custody. Literally, the brokenness of the streets was breaking her body. When I met her, she was chained to a bed with a feeding tube in her stomach, and she was still praying for peace in her life. And when you die in state custody, they actually give you the ashes in a small cardboard box. And 6 of us went to a local funeral home to hold a small service. And it was really undoing me, I think, because it seemed like somehow this was complete failure. And the lesson was something about if you get a really bad childhood, I mean really bad, I mean where people are abusing you and that's how you find your place in this world and understand yourself in this world as trash. If you get a really bad childhood like that, then you get a really bad death and a horrible funeral where no one attending your funeral ever knew you before you hit the streets. We stood in a circle and we started with, "The Lord be with you." Everybody started crying. Everyone in that circle. When there is nothing else, God fills the space. It makes it beautiful and powerful. And we couldn't have cut that spirit in that room with a knife. It was so thick. Despair and death did not even have the last word in her life. And I thought, my God, I will take this. I will take this for the rest of my life. If I can know this kind of mercy and this kind of grace, this is where I want to be and this is how I want to work and live. And tonight with us, we have Cynthia and Nikki and Carolyn, who are testimonies, beautiful women, who talk about how powerful love looks and how things run deeper than suffering and abuse they have known on the streets. And I am so thankful y'all are here. And Julie's with us. And Julie is a chemical engineer who was working at Dow Chemical. And she went into recovery and quit her job and came to us last year at Thistle Farms to help us with inventory and quality control. Things that I did not know we needed. They don't teach you that stuff in divinity school. Inventory or quality control. And it makes it hard to learn how to go out and speak in the marketplace about what your values and what justice is when you don't know that language. And she came, and I didn't even know I needed to pray for her. And she came our way, and this past spring, she went with us to Rwanda, and we started a Thistle Farms project there to help the women who are in Kigali coming off the streets start making soap and beeswax candles. And we were coming in from the countryside of Rwanda in a van that was too big for the narrow road we were on in the dark night. And I was scared, and I was praying, please, 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 please let us get back to the hotel. I hope it's safe. Da, 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 please, 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 please. And those pathetic prayers you don't want people to know you pray. So I was praying that, and Julie leans over and says to me, I hope someday that I find my purpose in life. And I just started laughing. I was like, well, you better find it quick because I think this is it. It was like, oh my God, do you not see that you've given everything? Do you not see how beautiful you are? You are full of unaffected modesty and grace. And you accept everybody. And you're willing to give your life for other people to have a better life. We have to see beyond the thorns of our thistle bodies and see that beautiful purple regal center that God created in all of us. The scriptures are right. Even Solomon in all his glory was not as beautiful as the purple center of a thistle, as the beautiful flowers all over this world. There is a place right below the blossom of a thistle and above the dagger thorns that is smooth. It's where you have to hold the thistle if you're going to harvest it. And it seems incongruous because the whole history of a thistle is survival by brutality. It comes as a sweet surprise, like all the grace in our lives. It is like the psalmist says, deep calling to deep. And knowledge so wonderful we cannot attain to it. I love this work, and I love this path, and I love sharing it with you, and pray that we can keep going together on this path till our hearts are ready for Jerusalem. I pray that you do consider thistles and every other thing that brings you into a space to know the grace that God has shown you in me. There is a place in Nashville, Tennessee called the Potter's Field. Actually, they call it the City Cemetery, but it is the Potter's Field. And it's right off the highway and right beside the sewer treatment. And it's surrounded by a chain-link fence with thistles growing everywhere. And in it are all the people no one has claimed to bury. It's where the Jane Does are buried by number. And if you go out there and sit and consider the thistles, it is a great teacher about grace. And if you can, imagine that grace growing as rapidly as thistles, flourishing in abundance, a thousandfold, so that we keep talking about love and we keep experiencing grace, and it blooms and blooms until maybe someday our great grandchildren will not know what sexual abuse means. We make drugs for healing, and women speak their truth without fear. And we all keep walking and walking together in love. Amen. For my closing prayer tonight, I would like us to sing a song together, if that's okay. This is my last time to preach and my last time to be with you. And when the microphone went out with the amazing Ken, it reminded me when we were in Rwanda and we were in this service and it was really loud and they were going and going and dancing and dancing. All of a sudden, all of the microphones went out and the electricity went out in this tent. And Lance, can you come up here and be with me? And if we can you turn this microphone off in just a second? I got to say this last thing. We're just going to sit quietly together and I invite you to close your eyes and we're just going to do it in a prayerful way to sing "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple" together as our closing prayer.
Teach us how to pick thistles so that we hear your call. 'Cause when we're down on the ground picking thistles, then we ain't got so far to fall. With you we would love to walk. We pray that the way we have heard you will lead to much more than talk. And we'll kneel down picking thistles so that we hear the call. 'Cause when we're down on the ground picking thistles, then we ain't got so far to fall. By turning, turning, we come.